The darkness shall not overcome the light. Do we really believe that? It is a tenet of Christian faith. It is a story as old as time. The darkness shall not overcome the light. Do you live your life as if you believe that? We as a church, church in the broadest sense of that word, have had a hard time with that. If we really believe that the darkness shall not overcome the light, then why are we so afraid to dwell in dark places? Why do we fear and run the darkness of life? The opening passage in John, which is a beautiful, wonderful, poetic passage, tells us that God became flesh. That God dwelt among us. That God was life. Not just those pretty parts of life, but the totality of life. In the past 100 years, if we're being lucky, maybe even way before that, churches have done a wonderful job to try to sanitize life, to make life pretty, to make it neat. But that's not what I read in this opening passage of John. I read about a God who came to us, to all of us, every part of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I hear of a God who picks odd ways and odd people to show God's light. Perhaps we as a church need to hang out a little bit more with out-of-wedlock teenage mothers, smelly stables. Perhaps we need to live in the fullness of Jesus and hang out more with beloved prostitutes, sinners, wrong people, in all the wrong places. I say this because churches all too often, and probably including ourselves if we're honest, have opted to hang out with the respectable, powerful people, those people in fancy robes. We've opted for national cathedrals. We've opted for emperors and tyrants and pageantry. The quote-unquote powerful people. We tried to be in all the right places at all the right times. But the darkness shall not overcome the light. Jesus took flesh and dwelt among us, and Jesus did not hang out in the nice neighborhoods. He went to those parts of human life which often cause fear and anxiety. That is where he chose to spend his limited time here on earth. Because at the heart of the incarnation, the heart of Jesus dwelling among us, is not about being respectable, admired by your peers, or even being annoyingly pleasant. Christianity, the heart of what we believe, is about God coming to all of us. God did not choose to come as an adult. God chose to come in a subversive way, a nonsensical way, as a child on the outskirts, not in the center of power. But after all, hasn't that been God's story from the foundations of the earth? We try to change God's story, make it our story, but God came to tell God's story, not our story. And as neat and as tidy as we try to make it, or as much as we try to make it suit our own needs and desires, that's not the way God works. This year in particular, 2017, which I am glad to see end, this year in particular has made me sick of our story. I've seen too many tyrants, too many abuses of power, too many trampling down those who are on the margins of society. And it's also caused me to not be so self-righteous, but to realize that perhaps I have a little bit of tyrant in myself. That darkness that I don't want to look at. Perhaps I'm a little bit complicit in the darkness of this world. I don't know about you, but 2018, I am ready to hear God's story. I will do the usual New Year's resolutions about going to the gym more, eating less. But I think probably the most important New Year's resolution I will make is to be on the lookout for God's story. This may mean going into the wrong neighborhoods with the wrong people. This may mean intentionally seeking out dark places, intentionally embracing all of life, the good, the bad, the ugly. Because I think that is where God is at work, in all of life. In those scandalous neighborhoods, with those scandalous people. We have, hopefully, just a little over a year until we enter into our new church building. I'm anxious about this. Not for the construction project or how that's going to go. I'm anxious of what kind of people we will be when we go into our fancy new building. We and every church has a choice. A church building can be a shelter from the world, from life. It can protect us, keep us safe, give us peace and quiet, an escape from the world. Or it could be a launch pad into the world, into all of life. We have that choice. And I have to admit, I'm a bit anxious on what choice we will make. I know there's some good and wonderful people, but I know some good and wonderful people who have chosen the former as opposed to the latter. Who see church as a refuge from the world instead of a launch pad into the world. But the beautiful thing about John's passage is, I think we need to change the tenses a little bit. God didn't dwell among us. God dwells among us. The light is still here. We are children of God, all of us. And John's passage reminds us that we are to be on the lookout for God's story, not our story, the neat and tidy version. We are to look out for God, and when we see God at work, not dismiss it or explain it away, not be seduced by tyrants or power over people. Because believe me, miracles happen all the time. And all too often I explain them away. Miracles happen in dark places. Miracles happen when the person becomes sober or celebrates their 10th anniversary of sobriety. Miracles happen when a child receives a limb or is cured miraculously from cancer. But we like to explain it away. If we think God came once and there is not light all around us, then I challenge you this day and this upcoming year to think again. After all, we heard today that the light shall not overcome the darkness. Perhaps we need to start living like we actually believe that. If you don't believe me, then I invite you to join me, to come together, to seek out the darkness, to perhaps ruin your reputation and my reputation. The light will be there. Let's spend this year finding the light together. Amen.